We turn now to the third chapter of the book of Yonah. We read in yesterday's chapter 2 of Yonah's prayer to God. But we do not find that as a result of that prayer, Yonah actually picks himself up and decides to carry out God's assignment. It simply says at the end of the second chapter that the fish spat out Yonah to dry land. In our perek today, perek Gimel, we learn of Yonah's going to Nineveh and indeed carrying out his mission, but not until God first speaks to Yonah a second time. And that is the first pasuk. Vayehi devar Hashem el Yonah shenis lemor. God spoke to Yonah a second time and told him, Kum leich el Nineveh ho'ir hagedola, go to Nineveh, the big city. Ukro eleho es hakirio asher anochi dover eleho, and call out the calling, the speech, which I will instruct you about. Vayokom Yonah, and indeed finally Yokom arises, and this time, Vayelech, he goes, El Nineveh Kidvar Hashem. He actually goes to Nineveh. Chazal, in the Gemara and Meseches Yevamos, stress that the pasuk reads, Vayehi devar Hashem el Yonah shenis lemor, that God spoke to Yonah a second time. Now there's obviously a lesson in this, that Yonah did not listen to God's first set of instructions, but it took a second kiriya, a second calling, before Yonah went. Chazal stressed the other end of the coin. And that is, they say, that God spoke to Yonah a second time, but never a third time. Shenis nidibar imo, shelishis lo dibra imo shechina. The Shechina never appeared to Yonah again. Interestingly enough, although this would seem to be a drash, a homiletic observation of Chazal, the Abarbanel, who is known more as a Pashtun, as a person who approaches the text simply and directly without much drash, in this case applauds Chazal's drosha and says that indeed this is the meaning. The Abarbanel stresses that in Seder Olam, which is a collection of baraisos which give a chronology of the world, Yonah is described as the person who anointed the king Yehu ben Nimshi as the king over Yisrael in the year 3062 of creation, and that Yonah lived until the time of the Navi Zechariah, and that was in the year 3164 to the Yetzirah. In other words, that Yonah lived a total of 102 years, and we never again after this find that Yonah issued a nevuah. Therefore, says the Abarbanel, it is quite apparent that indeed Yonah was punished because he fled from the nevuah. In the words of the Abarbanel, Ki imhu borach min hanavuah vihishtadeh lisalkoh me'olov, since he wished to rid himself of prophecy and that's why he fled, yihyeh onsho mido keneged mido, his punishment is measure for measure, shetihyeh hanavuah borachas mimenu, that he fled nevuah, from this point on nevuah fled from him. The pasuk goes on to describe Nineveh as being an ir gedola leElohim, as being a large, large city, mahalach shloshes yomim, a diameter of 3 days' walk. But it's called ir gedola leElohim, a great city, a large city to God. What does this mean, to God? It's a fascinating commentary of Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, who says that they're called an ir gedola leElohim because at bottom the people of Nineveh were a God-fearing, non-idolatrous people. In his words, the Ibn Ezra's words, ki hayu yureim Hashem bayomim hakadmonim, in ancient times, in the old days, the people of Nineveh were wonderful, God-fearing people. In these times of Yonah, they began to do bad. And this explains why they were so receptive to a stranger coming and yelling and screaming that in 40 days the city will be destroyed. Because at bottom, from the Ibn Ezra's point of view, lo hayu akum, they were not idolatrous. Unusual pshat. However, this pshat is rejected directly by Abarbanel, who says, "Ein hakavana shehoyu anosheha chasidim." Ir gedola leElohim does not mean they were God-fearing people, but rather, the Abarbanel adopts the approach of Radak. Radak says that whenever Tanakh wants to tell us that something is very large, it takes the noun and attaches to it the name of God. For example, mighty mountains are called Haverei El. Mighty cedar trees are called Arzei El. A fiery flame of, a huge fiery flame is called Shalheves Yo. Here too, this city is so big that it's called Ir Gedola leElohim, a great city to God, meaning a huge, huge city. The fascinating thing is that Yonah then comes into this huge city and calls out and says really six words, five words. Od arba'im yom v'Ninveh nehepoches. In 40 days, Nineveh will be overturned. And then instantly, instant results. Now many commentaries have pointed out that as we read through Tanakh, and now the group that's following Nachyomi has read through a substantial portion of Nach, and we've heard of the prophets of the big three, of Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, never do we find that their words of Musa, that their words of rebuke to the people, are taken very seriously by the people. We never find a mass teshuvah movement, even in response to the eloquent, divine words of the great prophets. However, Yonah does get results. Yonah, with five words, creates a major tshuva movement in this huge metropolis among non-Jews who, at least according to others, not Ibn Ezra as we've seen, are a bunch of idolaters. How does it happen? What is it that makes these people respond? After all, we see on the streets, I live in Manhattan, in the streets there are all kinds of bizarre people walking and predicting the end of the world and all sorts of things. No one pays them any attention. Why did this stranger come into the middle of the city of Nineveh and just call out, and there's an immediate response? And immediately the people of Nineveh, it's a response coming from the masses, from the grassroots. Vayikru tzom, vayilbishu sakim, they called out for a fast, they wore sackcloth, gedolam v'yat katanam, older and younger. And then finally the grassroots get to the king, and the king hears about it, and instead of dismissing what the people are telling him, he gets up and takes off his royal cloak, clothes himself in sackcloth, sits on the ground in the ashes, and cries out, or gathers the people of Nineveh and says, let everyone fast, man and animal alike, let the animals not graze, let the animals not drink water, let everyone, animal and man, cover themselves with sackcloth and call out to God, b'chozka, call out powerfully to God, and let everyone repent and return from his evil way and from the chamas, from the crookedness which they have in their hands. Who knows, says the king, perhaps God will change his mind and his remove his wrath, and we will not be lost, we will not be destroyed. This is a fascinating thing. Yonah, with a few brief words, is believed by the masses, and the masses convince the king that you got to listen to this fellow, he has something to say. The king springs into action and goes to the extreme of involving not only the people, but the animal, the people, migdolom v'yad ketanom, and etc., sackcloth, fasting, not eating, not drinking, praying, and praying this beautiful prayer of perhaps, miyodeya yoshuv, perhaps he will return, God will return, God will comfort himself, God will regret this decree, and he will cast his wrath aside. Powerful. How did it happen? Now, there are many approaches to explaining how it is that Yonah was able to accomplish this, how it is that the people were susceptible, were open to his message. I would like to share with you one approach which to me is absolutely beautiful and right on the money, right on the mark. And it is the approach by Rav Yehoshua Bachrach, a more or less contemporary of ours, who wrote not all that long ago, several decades ago, a beautiful commentary on the book of Yonah called Yonah ben Amitai ve'Eliyahu. And he has the following approach. He says that sometimes a society reaches the bottom. It hits rock bottom. It becomes so depraved and so sinful that the people themselves realize this is terrible. This is utter depravity. This can't go on. Life becomes so mushchas, so destroyed, so despicable. People feel so dirty, so sullied, so sinful that they're looking and searching for something. In our time, we see this phenomenon of a turn to spirituality, a search for spirituality in sectors of society that have sunk to the bottom, to the pit of promiscuity and substance abuse, etc., and begin searching for something higher. Perhaps, suggests Rabbi Bachrach, this was what was happening with the city of Nineveh. They reached rock bottom, and they themselves were looking for something. They couldn't find anything that really, really struck a chord. And lo and behold, this fellow comes out of nowhere and cries out this message of, you've reached rock bottom, it's time to repent, it's time to do shuva. And when they heard him, and he struck a chord that was already there, there's a fertile ground for his message, they responded, and wow, did they respond. In the words of Rav Bachrach, their evil had reached even God. The city is full of chamas. In the words of Rav Bachrach, ukfarheim atzmam soldim mechetam. They themselves recoil at their sin. Ach ein ish megal alibo. They can't really confront it. They just feel this horrible sense of contamination, of moral contamination. And even the king feels this. He realizes people, and he too has sunk to the bottom. Ukfarheim muchanim kulam. They're all ready for a message. Umechakim lidvar ma gadol. They're looking for something big. Ki yavo v'yizazei aleihem. Something that will shake them up. V'hinehu bo. And behold, here is the man, Yonah. Rav Bachrach, in this, is following a teaching of Rav Kook. Rav Kook, in his work Oros HaTshuva, in Perek Vov, chapter Dalet, or paragraph Dalet, has a beautiful paragraph where he describes how the world sometimes can only go just so far along the evil, depraved way. And in his words, Rav Kook's poetic words, "Hatshuva hi tomid muchrachas lavo ulehiskalos." Tshuva is always, tshuva will out. Tshuva will break through. It will be revealed. In the words of Rav Kook, "Ki hamachalo shel shichachas ha'olam eloki lo suchal lo kachas ma'amad eson beteva ha'odom." The disease of forgetting the divine world can never last long in human nature. Sooner or later, morality, ethics, spirituality breaks through. And this was the condition Rabbi Bachrach suggests of Nineveh, and that's why Yonah had such success. I simply want to close with the last posuk, the last verse of Posuk Gimel. Vayar ho Elokim es ma'aseihem. God saw their actions. Ki shavu midarkom horo'o. They indeed repented, returned from their evil way. Vayinochem ho Elokim, and God reconsidered al horo'o asher dibeir la'asos lohem. He reconsidered the consequences that he had considered doing, planned to do, below asa, and God did not destroy Nineveh. End of chapter 3. And Chazal stress, and this is so important, notice, it doesn't say that they did many things. They fasted, and they wore sackcloth, and the king sat in the afer in the ashes, and they changed their ways. God only was moved by the fact that they changed their ways. The sackcloth, the fasting, the ashes, just symbolic. They were no proof. They themselves would not move God to change his mind. But Vayahu Elohim es ma'aseihem, God saw their deeds. When he saw their deeds, he was convinced that they really meant business. And Vayinochem Elohim al haro'ah, God consoled himself. God reconsidered the punishment that he was going to bring upon Nineveh and did not do so. What was Yonah's reaction to this? Was he happy? He succeeded. He was a successful preacher. People followed him. No. As we will see in chapter 4, Yonah was not very pleased with this outcome.